Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Eric Hecker. He is a self-educated research investigator that takes from his many odd life experiences and connects with others. He was raised on Long Island, the home of the now famous Montauk Project. His childhood included being part of the Stargate Project, which is run by the CIA and DIA. Later on, he had experiences in the submarine service, and in 2010, he took a contract to work at the South Pole Station for a year. Always the avid researcher, it wasn't until he began working remotely throughout the state of Alaska that he started making connections that his own life may not have been what he thought it was. Now he's trying to help others see that things may not be as we're told. Eric, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Chris. Thank you very much for having me back.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you again. Last time you were on, we had a lot of fun. Actually, you were on two times before, but last time we talked a good bit about your experiences at the South Pole and insights and the possibilities of secret government projects, secret space technology, and I want to go deeper into that tonight. I know you've had gotten some more profound information that you've received lately about some of the things that could be occurring down at the South Pole Station. And we were also discussing the possibilities of some type of mind control devices down there. And like you said in our messages earlier, man, the masses do appear to be highly mind controlled right now. Now you're in Alaska still?
Yes, sir. Yep.
How is everything been in Alaska as far as the people's attitudes, your local communities, with everything that's happening now in mainstream society with, you know, the agendas?
I will be quite frank with you, sir. I am saddened to say the atmosphere has been incendiary, would be the way that I would put it. I see the dials being like amped up from every direction like a giant co-intel-pro operation, that the powers that be are just needling all sides of the aisle against each other. And that's the point, is to cause this frustration and to get us at each other. That's what I'm seeing, unfortunately. That's the momentum.
Now, even this is even in your local Alaskan communities, like your friends and neighbors and people you talk to on a daily basis?
This is so localized to where I'm at, like the head of the pinpoint in this state. I don't want to speak of it as all of Alaska. I happen to be residing in Anchorage, which is the metropolitan area of Alaska. And we are currently under a tyrannical local government. The municipality of Anchorage has a brown shirt, like Nazi-like government going on, where we have had meetings upon meetings where the public was showing up in mass to speak against the authoritative actions of the assembly persons who were going against the ideas of the mayor, who's supposed to represent the will of the people. They were vetoing the mayor, who was representing the will of the people. The people then had the right to speak their will, so that the assembly could then understand the people they're representing, but then they voted opposed to the will of the people as presented. So we're in a very peculiar spot, because we have a government that's saying, no, you have to 100% do what we say, you know, regardless of the topic. I don't care what the topic is. The representatives are supposed to represent.
Right.
A lot of folks forget that we don't have leaders. There's no leaders in our country. There's not one leader.
You vote for
representatives.
Right. You're right. Now, there is, in my local communities and some of the people that I am surrounding myself with immediately, there is, you know, glimmers of hope here. I do see people that don't want to go get this experimental jab, that people that aren't going along with the agendas, that just aren't falling for it anymore. And I see it personally becoming a little bit more widespread, the rebellion against this, you know, police state that's creeping up on us and this boot that's being pressed against our head. It may just be the circle that I'm surrounded with. And I'm actually surprised, because I'm in Colorado, which is technically a blue state, but I don't see that around you know, the people that I surround myself with in the areas that I go to. I don't know, maybe it's just the kind of people I attract or something like that. But a lot of people I see are kind of waking up to things. And it is encouraging to see that, you know, some of the people that I even knew for a long time that were on the other side are now switching gears because it's become so ridiculous and the agendas have become... I think they're coming out too fast. I think that they're moving too fast and people are catching on to that, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I think the too fast thing, you actually hit the nail on the head that is actually, and I'm not a supporter of any singular faction. I do not think that life is that simple. I think there are a lot of white hat factions. There's not just one. It's not that simple. People like to get really behind the Q thing, but you know what? If that was the case, we would have won already. I get that the Q faction's in the battle, but guess what? Q's technically not winning right now, officially, because we haven't won yet. So that means we've been actively losing the whole time that people have been supporting the Q faction. Hey, cool. It's a cool faction, but there's other factions out there, and to me, I do see the momentum growing. I do see that there's a lot of people out there. And, I kind of lost my train of thought on this one.
Well, with the Q, do you think that that was more of a engineered operation rather than something that was actually happening, that was organic, that people were, you know, that these white hat members of the military...
Half a dozen of another.
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. You cut out for a second. I was just going to say,
no,
six
do you
of
actually...
one, half a dozen of another.
Do you actually think that these were white hats, that people, you know, former military members, these people in QAnon or whatever QAnon was, do you think it was an organic, genuine phenomenon or this some kind of engineered op from CIA?
I don't think there's anything organic about it. I think it was a savagely orchestrated operation for sure. Absolutely. There's something going on there. It's a big operation. Right. But that's, you know, I would never put all of my eggs in one basket.
Now, there are some, you're right. There are some good and bad about it. They did come out with a lot of things that were absolutely 100% on the money and some things that are still occurring. But I think there's a lot of disinformation in there, too. And it's being used against people like yourself, people who are open-minded, people who are questioning the agendas.
I totally, totally understand where you're coming from. I just want to add to the mix of possibilities. I think what people don't consider is the additional possibility that the Q faction is perfectly well-intentioned, but losing. I mean, just because they're good-intentioned and on our side and in the fight, it doesn't mean they're winning. Just because they have propaganda that says, don't worry, we got this, it doesn't mean they do. Right. Now, that's why we have to actually have a fallback plan, because as always, from day one, we should never have been putting our faith in someone else, like some savior circumstance.
You're right. Yes, you're absolutely right. I was just talking with my guest earlier about this, that no one is coming to save us. We're the only ones that can help us out in any of this. And there was someone I was speaking with a couple of weeks ago that had an interesting theory. I don't recall who it was, but that the whole QAnon thing was actually some kind of AI algorithm that was set forth to kind of put this into the populace's consciousness and get this kind of awakening kickstarted. I don't know. I thought it was very interesting and something to consider, because all we're seeing from QAnon is online. It's all through our computer systems. It's all through our phones, the cell phones and computers. How do we know it's
completely possible?
Right.
That's completely possible. So until we can disprove it, we have to leave it on the table as plausible. So good point. I never really thought of it that way.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's interesting.
But another consideration that I always have when it comes to the Q stuff is that, and this is my personal experience that I have to deal with, and I can only share it with others and they can do with it what they want.
Right.
But everybody talks about QAnon starting up on the Chan groups. If I'm not mistaken, they're putting it at like 2017 or something like that. I absolutely know people that were discussing this with me years before that. that this QAnon thing was going on the Chan groups on the deep web well before that. And it shocked me when I heard people that there was this new unanimous consent that QAnon started years later from when I knew, and it just triggered my memory, and I went, wow, that's really weird.
You know, I think, now that I think about it, I think I've seen stuff from Q well before 2017 as well, but I couldn't, you know, tell you for sure.
Yeah. And I never saw it, but I know there was people talking to me about it. They were trying to get me interested in it, but it was deep web stuff, and I was like, listen, I'm out. I'm like, leave me alone.
Yeah, that whole phenomenon is very strange. And when it comes to what I want to talk about tonight, when it comes to mind control and things of that nature, I think algorithms, like we're saying, have a lot to do with this as well, especially when you're looking at social media and the mass majority of Americans, where they're getting their entertainment and everything else is online now. It's not through cable companies. It's not through the TV. They're looking at their phones or they're streaming something through their TV. It's Netflix, it's things of this nature, or it's social media. And that's a huge form of the mind control techniques and the technology that's being implemented today. And it's been implemented since the dawning of these technologies for these very purposes. I mean, you look at the internet and Facebook and YouTube, all DARPA creations.
Absolutely.
You know, this was all meant to gather information from us and steer society in certain directions. Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you had recently come across information that there is some kind of technology that they're using for mind control at the South Pole Station.
Absolutely. Yep. There's the ELF, which is the extra low frequency range. There's a system that they have at the South Pole that is not de-energized. It's up and running. This is a component that is, I guess we would put on the most wanted list for, you know, when people talk about the possibility of mind control, this is one of the components. So I'm trying to scream from the hills for folks, you know, look at the world around us. You know, is everybody that you know operating precisely the way you knew them to be for the decades that you knew them? Or are they a little bit off right now?
Yeah, I think you're right. There's plenty of people I grew up with.
Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman that I've been putting information about. His name is Dr. James Giordano, and he's a neuroweapons and bioweapons specialists, and he speaks so well on the topic that West Point brings him in to speak to the cadets so that they're abreast of what's the tip of the spear in that industry for weaponry that they're going to have to lead their troops into war against to be prepared for. So he's not talking about theoreticals. He's talking about the things that exist that the troop leaders will have to deal with.
Now, is this gentleman where you got this information from, or is this something
it's cross-referencing, basically. I mean, I have information from my own experiences at the South Pole, and it's folks like this that are, you know, saying, hey, these are the systems that our enemies have, right? I'm certain that in those countries, these weapon systems are secreted.
Right.
I'm trying to let people know that these technologies are also in our hands. I've worked at facilities that possess them. I would imagine we have defense systems against offense systems and vice versa. These are the ways of war. We don't learn about these systems until many years later. The F-117 was active in the late 60s, early 70s. We didn't hear about it until the Gulf War. So this is how the world works. I was at the South Pole Station. I discovered that some of the science technology is also doing other things that put it on the list of directed energy weapons.
All right, I want to talk about the directed energy weapons in a second, but
the mind control.
Well, so this is the same thing. Now let's get into what do you think is behind this technology, what they're using, and how it affects people.
It's a matter of an understanding of energy and frequencies. I mean, it's really that simple. We know that there's portions of the brain that are receptors. And if you can transmit to them, they don't care where the information's coming from. They're just taking it in as info. You know, so it's just, it really just boils down to an understanding of how the human body works, how energy works, and how transmitting information works. And once you have that holy trinity down, they can both gather information from the head and transmit into it as well. These are referenceable, known sciences that are on the table right now for nations to use against each other. We are currently in a state of war. A lot of folks just haven't realized it yet.
There was
a summit here in Alaska just 3 days ago. There was the global, like a global preemptive strike team that came up here to Alaska to speak some truths that nobody heard before. And I'm gonna post some links on it. I'm sorry that I can't think of the name of it right now. But these are some of the big wig doctors from all over the world, and a scientist that escaped from China from the Wuhan lab to speak her truth.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Huh, it's absolutely amazing that we never hear anything about stuff like this.
It just happened the other day. Uh-huh. Literally, it happened live. I was watching it 2 days ago.
Right.
And this scientist and everybody on this board straight up said, listen, all stop. Everyone's lying to you. This is a bioengineered weapon from China. That's it. Done deal. They have the evidence. This is war. We've been attacked. This is what Dr. James Giordano was talking to the troops about at West Point. He was talking years ago, just a couple, about the potential threats in the future. And everything that he was saying is identifying the environment of war that we are currently in.
Right. Oh, I definitely think that we are in a war. We're in a new form of war. It's an information war. It's a bio war. It's mm-hmm. silent wars. Now, I want to go back to these directed energy weapons for a second and their transmission. Do you think that this is... the South Pole Station, this technology, is some kind of transmitting station?
It absolutely is. I've provided documentation to prove that precisely, that it transmits. That specificity is a big deal. You, sir, are a broadcaster. You can understand the difference between reception and transmission.
Right.
The two different facets of a system. They're presenting the Ice Cube neutrino detector as a receiver. I've provided documentation that proves that it is not only transmitting, but it's transmitting at a savage power rate.
Okay, let's go back to what you said. What did you call this? An ice cube neutrino?
The ice cube neutrino detector.
Okay, what is this? Now, what is it supposed to be?
It is supposed to be detecting neutrinos, which are massless, almost massless particles. And I'm quoting from the time that I was there. Science has evolved, but I'm just going as presented when I was there. That these neutrinos, which are near massless particles, are moving at, near, or beyond the speed of light. The effort was to have a neutrino contact the nucleus of one of the ice particles there in Antarctica. Because of the cleanliness of the ice, the clarity, all this stuff, they had embedded in the ice what they call DOMs, digital optical modules. Or monitors. I always get that mixed up. But they were called DOMs. There are 5,160 of these DOMs embedded in the ice in a giant hexagram shape that was 2 miles high and I think 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer, like sections around. So this thing's massive. I provided documentation that proves that each of these DOMs can transmit, modulated, can transmit up to 2,047 volts each. So times that by 5,160 DOMs, and that's what you're looking at as output power, which is savage.
Yeah,
so it doesn't just receive, and they're not discussing the transmit side.
That's right. And, you know, when you say that it's a transmitter, the skeptics might say, well, you know, from Alaska, it's transmitting mind control signals. Well, we have no idea, first of all, how advanced technology they have. We only know about, you know, the technology that we're shown, which I believe is probably up to 100 years behind some of the advanced technologies that are actually being used by some of these secret government factions and things of that nature. What are the effects that it could have on people theoretically?
Well, what we would go to immediately is the new list that was put out by the Department of Defense for what they call Havana Syndrome, because they have recently put out documentation, which I've also provided to folks. So this is legit. The federal government, the Department of Defense, and the DIA are now tracking their employees that have been negatively impacted by what they're calling directed energy weapons. So they're coming from somewhere. And they have now made a path, because they're the federal government, so they are obligated that anytime a federal employee is hurt at work, they have a process they have to follow. So now, because enough federal employees are being negatively impacted by directed energy weapons, and you can look up the list of Havana Syndrome symptoms, which cause nausea, vertigo, all kinds of ailments, loss of memory. One of the things I find very interesting on the list is they'll say that people suffer from hearing weird noises. Yeah, that's a really cool way of saying inserted voices. That's called V2K, but they're not going to really say it yet. But that's what they mean.
Now, do you think that this could do other things such as, you know, simulate or emulate or even cause the effects of some diseases or sicknesses in people?
According to Dr. James Giordano, there are certain processes. A lot of things, folks like to think of issues as being singular, but lots of times they're made more complex and simply by compounding them, you know, so that it's not necessarily the signal that is to your detriment, but the signal can trigger something to your detriment. Let's say if something happened to, you know, be injected into you, and it was dormant, so that item in and of itself could be tested and be shown to be not negative, thus safe at the time that it was tested. Well, you can have a slow release medicine by design, or apparently contemporarily we can have a slow release bullet, and you can have an initial trigger, which is the insertion point, and you can have a secondary trigger, which fires the explosive later on, like a timed detonator. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an explosive, like a slow-release bullet, but medically speaking, we can certainly administer medication to people that is administered slowly over time, even though you insert it immediately. We have all kinds of ways to slowly distribute cures. You think that the medical industry can't figure out a way to slowly distribute death?
Well, the medical industry, their main goal is to just have customers for life. Lately, the past few years, from what I've learned about the way not only the medical industry works, but everything else in reality, how we've been lied to, I don't want to even go to the doctor anymore. Unless I have a limb hanging off or something,
mechanical breakdown. That's the only thing that you need the medical industry for. A mechanical failure. Like you said, you get a car accident, your arm is falling off. You need that fixed.
Yeah.
Other than that, you should steer clear of Western medicine. You want homeopathic medicine.
I'm starting to think that, you know, that there's cancer screenings, that people are going to cancer screenings and being diagnosed with something that may not even be cancer half the time. And if they are, and they're given treatments like chemotherapy, which is going to kill you 10 times faster than any other natural treatment or the cancer itself, let alone many of the other things that they're misdiagnosing people with, or they're just treating with pharmaceuticals to keep them coming back for more and slowly kill them even further, like I said, to keep them a customer for life. So the medical industry has become, you know, just as nefarious as these individuals that are distributing these death signals across the planet.
You're 100% right. I have a very close friend of mine, a very dear friend, who was misdiagnosed with cancer. She went to a doctor who told her, you know, blah, 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 blah. Test this, test that. You have cancer. And I was like, you know what? I am not buying this. And we went a whole other route. Long story short, she had not cancer. I'm not going to, I don't want to break the A-regs. She did not have cancer. She had something else. And we got her all in the mend. Everything's fine and dandy.
Yes.
And I was livid because I went with her to sit with this doctor, and I had to sit there while this guy was like, listen to me. I write books on cancer. I'm an author. I like all the ego that you could imagine. Okay, cool. Turns out you're wrong, bro.
Yeah. The hometown I grew up in, my family doctor. He was a doctor for me, my sister, my brothers, my parents. And I'm sure, you know, plenty of generations of folks in that hometown, they had him as a family doctor. It was a small town. And he was well-respected. He was also a surgeon. People loved him. You know, he had plaques and pictures of himself and, you know, people, presidents. You know, he was a very well-known guy. But he was also the largest drug dealer of said small town. All the opiates, all the speed pharmaceuticals, everything could be tracked back to this man, everything that was going around. And it turns out he would just, you know, you could tell him you have, you know, a little bellyache, and he'd be giving you the strongest opiate known to man. And this was just a practice for him. This was normal. I don't know if he was trying to be a drug dealer, but he was trying to drug people. He was trying to give them pharmaceuticals, whether he's getting kickbacks for this or he really thinks this is medicine. I don't know. And it makes me wonder how many doctors across our nation are doing this very same thing to people. He destroyed so many lives in this town, and he just still doesn't realize it. He's still practicing.
Because of the pharmaceutical industry, the kickbacks were inevitable.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I mean, they certainly, it's just automatic. I've known plenty of folks that have worked in standard general practice offices, in dental. I mean, there's every kind of practice that you work in the office. Talk to the office staff. You want answers? Become friends with the receptionist there. I've spoken to these folks. I know the deal. The drug reps come in there and they hammer down. There's all stops. Nope. Nothing's. Hey, you want free samples? Here, you want free samples? Oh, you want to come out to lunch? You want this? They absolutely have all kinds of quotas and all kinds of junk.
Oh, yeah. So, and, you know, that probably going on across the board, you know, regularly with all local doctors, you know, hospitals and beyond. So, you know, my recommendation, people, is just, you know, cure yourself. And preventative care. You talk to a doctor about nutrition, and it's like their eyes go cross-eyed. Boom. Or they don't know what
you
the hell you're saying.
You just read my mind.
Yeah.
That is primo right there. You are what you eat, folks. Oh, yep. My God. Proper nutrition. Step one. I mean, I'm not going to go screaming from the hills saying vegan, organic, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? At the very least, start eating food. Start eating stuff where the ingredients
real food.
Is food. Not like, you know, like hydrogenated this or high fructose that or, you know, colorant XYQ. Like, start eating food and watch how your health improves. You know, with all this BS, with all the disease and shenanigans that we've been talking about as of late, I mean, you know, the flu disappeared, but yet watch what's going to happen again after gorging season. We're entering gorging season where everybody abuses their body. Where seasonally, we've been like, oh, I got the flu. I'm sick now. Well, of course you're sick. You just poisoned yourself for like damn near 2 months. You abused the snots out of your body. And now all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's springtime. I don't feel good.
Weakness and poor health has become an agenda. It's become something that is desirable to the masses because it keeps us weak. It keeps us where they exactly where they want us. So we don't
fight
back. So we don't question.
Sustenance. they're providing us lucrative products that taste good.
Yeah. Tastes good. And that's
subjective.
What's
the nutritive value of a bag of Doritos?
Oh man, negative whatever. I don't know. I can't say that there is any.
But how many Dorito bags get sold every year?
Oh yeah, I know. It's the equivalent
of poison.
Of eating poison cardboard. Yeah.
And now let's add to the list. Like, how many things can we put on the list that are equally non-nutritive?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's people that spend every day of their life eating fast food, eating McDonald's three meals a day, and there's nothing real about anything that's going into any meal at McDonald's. And if you're spending every day of your life doing that, you're made up of fake substances, and you're not going to be able to think right. You're not going to be able to make cognitive decisions. You're not going to be able to live your life. Living off of fakery. I did it for a while. I was in that boat. I was eating the crap food every day. I was engaging in, behavior, drugs and alcohol and all kinds of crap that was not good for me for years. And I felt the effects every day. I was not a happy camper. And it wasn't until I changed all that it was able to change many aspects of my life. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Know thyself stuff from ancient wisdom.
Yes.
You had the wherewithal to assess yourself and say, I can do better than this.
Yeah. And that's what I think it's all about. And I think that there is kind of like a wave of that going across the planet right now, where people are having the desire to kind of wake up and change their lives. I see a lot more people coming around to that. I just hope that continues to be embraced and more people can do that, because that's the only way we're ever going to turn anything around is people helping themselves, and that's where everything starts. Now, earlier you mentioned China. I want to go back to that for a second, because China's interesting to me. Half the researcher friends of mine think China's just a pawn, just a hive mind, great pawn, because they're so powerful, their military is powerful, and they can be used in certain ways and maybe manipulated, or they're behind a lot more than we think. That's the other thinking
camp on
that one.
I'm sorry, you lost me right there. You said they're behind more than
we think? Yeah, they could be behind have a larger role. Yes, have a larger role in what's happening and globally than we think, rather than just being a pawn to, the Illuminati factions or whoever's behind all this. I am kind of leaning towards they might have a larger role in this than a lot of people are led to believe. Some of my closest researcher friends believe that they are just pawns in this game. I'm not sure. What do you think about China? Because it seems like a lot of their ideals are being passed out throughout the world and adopted,
I think I align with you on this one. If they were a pawn for whom? I believe that China certainly has a pride issue in a way. And that I think it's discounting to say that they're a pawn to somebody else, because I think China is a very powerful nation that is in the game for the long haul. I think they're being very tactical for quite some time, and that's their game. We as a people have not been paying attention to the standard machinations that China has been doing for eons. And the purchasing of our nation, i.e. my sign back here, that's where we're at right now. It was very simple for China to come in and pay off some very high-ranking roles. They certainly have.
Didn't they also buy all kinds of buildings and land and farmland and
all kinds of stuff? They have the buying power in our nation in a way to buy the whole damn thing if it wasn't for a paperwork process that prevented it. They have the money. They have the resources. It's not like they treat their people fairly. So when a nation doesn't treat the people who labor fairly and it rapes them of the fruits of their labor, it's not that there's no fruits to be born. It's just the people don't bear the benefit. So China is a massive resource with a massive labor force that's abusing them. So they have massive amounts of money to rape off of the people to go purchase politicians from other nations, i.e. Dr. Mengele, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, come on. The guy's on the payroll for China. I mean, and that's all there is to it.
The social credit system, it's awfully popular amongst these globalists fucks, you know?
Oh, my
God.
Tracking every syllable that comes out of everybody's brain.
Right,
even
yeah.
Whether you put it to text or to speech or not, they still want to know, which is why the technology is becoming more intrusive, which is why we have maniacs like Elon Musk, like, hey, let me hook you up with a Neuralink. How could that be bad?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's all headed towards the same type of ideal future for these globalists is to have more control, a hive mind mentality where everybody kind of blindly follows everything, this social credit mm-hmm. system, where if you yes. make this boo-boo, you're going to get this slap on the wrist or on the face or even get killed, you know. But we're headed there, and it's getting quicker every day. And if, mm-hmm. you know, if people can't put together these things, I don't know. I'm starting to think that China has a very large interest in what's happening right now, and we should keep a very close eye on them.
I've thought it from the beginning. I mean, you can check my videos. I was almost immediately on my YouTube channel when this went down. I was screaming that this is a new world war. This is engineered. This is not what's being presented. I'm yeah. so there with you. This is from day one. This is a scam because, lest we forget, when this was first presented to us, we were shown that there were Chinese people falling flat on their faces in the middle of the road from it.
Right.
Where did that go?
Exactly. Yeah.
That was a propaganda tactic. That was an informational weapon of war. Those are things that most people don't pay attention to. But these are things that you have to. These are the details that matter that over time. So this is what we were shown. We were threatened as a global people. We were shown images mm-hmm. that we were told were true, that there were people that were this COVID disease is so bad that you could just be standing on the street, scrolling through your screen, and next thing you know, you fall flat on your face and you're dead. That's what we were yeah. presented. And we were told to get inside, to lock down, to put on a mask. And it was shenanigans. It's total shenanigans because that was a stage. All the world is a stage, and that was act one.
It is. And I want to talk about some of the things that kind of turn people away from this discussion. And some of the things that when you get too deep, it's just they check out. They don't want to hear it. And especially when it comes to extraterrestrials, when it comes to aliens, when it comes to the paranormal and the metaphysical side of this, people don't want to hear it. Like, you know, normal people, people who are just waking up to the corruption in the world, you start mentioning that they could have an off-planet aspect to it. They're like, nope, I don't want to hear yep. that. But there is, you know, you can't
yes,
ignore
it's
it.
All, it's all of the above. The problem is it's yeah. actually all of the above. And that's
right.
why it's so hard for everybody to swallow
is
that they absolutely have so much of their paradigm to shift. They have been lied to. We have been disinformed and misinformed for decades and decades and decades now. It's almost hard to count.
Yes.
So much information. Like, I mean, I myself personally, not only am I a student of like topics, like people are like, oh, I study this. I study the history of things also. Like, so there's like, oh, there's an idea, and people are like, oh, well, this is what we know about it now. Cool, that's what we know about it now. But did you actually study the history of how we got to that position?
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a lot more to learn from that.
Yeah, our history is a complete mess as it is.
The power of the edit is very powerful, and we see that contemporarily in the news media. But if we apply the power of the edit and we look historically how the power of the edit has been applied to information streams, we can start to see that, whoa, hold on a second. Where we're at right now isn't necessarily anything other than what didn't make it to the editor's floor.
Yeah.
It's not really the truth.
Well, yeah, and that's because the victor, you know, writes the stories, and they're going to
yep.
write everything that's happening right now. And if they don't want certain information to hit that that floor, it's not going to. But
yep.
you when it comes to this space of, you know, metaphysical and high strangeness, you had an excellent interview recently with Dr. Stephen Greer, and some profound information came out for you. I know you want to tell us a little bit about that. I'd love to hear about it.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of what I'm doing is in real time. So I decided to do Deciphering My Experience because a lot of my life has been peculiar. And I was like, hey, you need to write a book. And I'm like, hold on a second. I mean, I would have to have things figured out to write a book. And I don't have things figured out. I'm trying to figure it out. So I'm deciphering my experience. And as of recently, working with Dr. Greer and connecting some dots and, you know, other information that I had that I now feel confident in stating, and I put it there first, but I want to emphasize it to everyone. The South Pole Station, that ice cube neutrino detector, on the list of things that it can do as a directed energy weapon is create earthquakes. This is something that, you know, people have said, hey, you know, maybe HAARP can do this and maybe that. Listen, I'm telling you, it can do it. When the original fire up, so I was there, 2010, 2011 was my season. So from November of 2010 until November of 2011, I was at the South Pole Station. The ice cube neutrino detector, as well as what's called the elevated station, were both going from their construction phase to operations and maintenance. I was there for the transition. I helped complete the construction, and I was there for the initial crew for operations and maintenance. That's a big deal, actually. They don't just do that for anyone.
Right.
So for the ice cube neutrino detector, that was their fire-up season. And the earthquakes that happened in Christchurch, New Zealand, were from them dialing it in. That much I know. What they hit afterwards, I'm not 100% because I'm only just starting to follow this trail. But from what I understand, there are actually other entire YouTube channels that are dedicated to apparently tracking peculiar signals coming out of Antarctica that they've been accusing for years of doing things like causing earthquakes. So now here I am finding out, hey, apparently these people have been on the right track, but I'm one of these folks that now can support what they've been postulating, which is why I'm trying to come out of the shadows, because my experience supports a lot of the things that people have been considering, but they don't have the proof. And everybody says, well, if somebody knew something, they would say something. I know stuff and I'm saying stuff. I'm here to support the accusations that people are putting out there.
Right. And now, speaking of connecting the dots, you've had extremely interesting experiences that kind of led you down your path, including as a childhood, possibly being part of operations like the Stargate Project, right?
No possibilities about it. Yeah, I'm thoroughly convinced of it. And okay. Yeah, this is actually a big deal because it's really only come to a head, like, a lot of folks say to me, like, wow, you know, how did you get in the Antarctic program? You know, that's pretty special. And for a long time, I didn't really have an answer for that. To me, just from my firsthand experience, it was like, hey, I applied and I got the job, you know, lucky me. But now in hindsight, it has a lot more to do with what I'm learning from everybody in these circles is bloodlines, histories, and all kinds of stuff that is like eons long. So I would say I got to the South Pole Station because of all of the programs that I went through prior that predisposed me to be on the list. I mean, there was so much stuff from my childhood through everything up until I got that contract that was so weird about my employment and who I worked for. I mean, all kinds of corporations that are off the wall. I mean, South Pole Station wasn't my first run-in with Raytheon. Raytheon's a very shifty company. Right. I also worked for TRW. I also worked for AIL. I also worked for Paul Corporation. I also worked for Reuters. I've worked for some of the shadiest companies out there, but I didn't know it at the time. You know, I was just there to fix the sink. I was just there to get the heat back on. I was just there to do whatever their facility needed 24 hours a day.
Now, you mentioned bloodlines. Have you ever done any research into your family history?
Not tons, but I can. I mean, I do trace my family back to Germany for sure. I have a grandfather that was in what was known as the American Bund, which was a Nazi supporting faction here in the US, both pre and post World War II. They had a large presence in the New York and Long, like metropolitan New York area and Long Island. There's all kinds of reference material that you can find on the internet, all kinds of pictures and video that show what were celebrations and ceremonies that you would have thought were straight out of Nazi Germany going on in New York.
And I'll find
they had facilities all over there.
I'm finding it super interesting that individuals like yourself who were involved with these, you know, these shady government projects as a kid, and not only that, you know, other mind control projects and secret space program and things of this nature, that it wasn't till recently, till the past, you know, maybe 5-10 years, that a lot of these individuals started having recall and putting these dots together and coming out and talking about it, you know, all around the same time. I find it super interesting, and I'm wondering if it's part of this, you know, giant cosmic awakening that everyone's having, or is it engineered in some way, or is it our collective consciousness wanting to come out? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My ego is going to jump out on this one a little bit, because I'm having a lot of thoughts on this one as of late, because I agree with you. Things are going towards the positive. And I'm just going to go so far as to say that back when I was a kid, I was involved with programs that the folks running the programs didn't necessarily even know what they were working with. They were happy to wield something to see what became of it. They certainly didn't control it or know it because they couldn't do it. But what they were doing is putting children to task at things that they shouldn't. The children knew better and technically were learning a new skill set. It's my belief that these very powerful children learned something that goes beyond time and space and is hard to explain, certainly for these children, because from their firsthand experience, they were just doing something. They themselves weren't being explained anything. They were being misinformed and disinformed to the point of trauma and abuse. But in their growth process of being exposed to powers that even the supposed powers that be that were presenting them didn't understand, I believe the children became stronger. I believe they crossed something, learned something, became empowered that A, protected them at the time and gave us hope in the future.
Do you think that there were a lot more children involved in this that may still not be remembering everything or just starting to, that will eventually have, you know, a recall and, you know, we'll realize that there was a lot of, you know, possibly millions and millions of children involved in these programs that could be, you know, around the same age as yourself right now?
Absolutely. And then some. I think even more folks. I think a lot more children, unfortunately, were processed through these programs in some capacity, and that the system typically works. So most people just don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I will go as so far as to suggest that there may be some sort of supporting technology to help that. So let's imagine that perchance a directed energy weapon system like the South Pole Station may also be having some sort of a barrier, a unilateral frequency barrier for everyone. So if they know that they're applying a similar trauma to everyone and they know what they're targeting for you to forget, that it could be that simple, that we have a trauma frequency, and as long as all of our traumas are applied on that frequency, we can have like a white noise negator type situation. We can apply a frequency that causes no one to recall that. Now, here's a consideration, because this is part of what I'm doing, is I believe these things are going on. I believe there's going to be a time in the future. I hope that there's going to be a time in the future when the good people do something about the nefarious technologies that no one knows exists. When they turn that frequency off and everybody remembers, which is still technically a good thing, We're going to be dealing with a mass casualty incident in a way. That's what I'm trying to prepare people for, is that I do believe a lot of bad stuff has happened. I do believe that we can overcome for the things that have occurred, but I believe it's going to be very painful for a lot of people. I mean, imagine all these folks that are speaking about these secret space program things and the traumas that they've been through, that are dealing with the potential, I'm sorry, not the potential, the partial memories and the trauma that goes with that. Okay. It's rough enough. And the people that dig and do the shadow work. Now imagine the people that have no idea of any association whatsoever. And now you're going to what? Open the memory banks? Like, yeah. Stat, like just write, like, this is going to be harsh for folks.
Yes, it certainly will, especially when it comes to learning about some of the, you know, the stranger aspects of everything. Now, when you look at who's in control, or we don't know who exactly they are, you know, even the unnamed, but let's even say some of the people we do know, like Fauci and Gates and some of these corrupt politicians, they appear to be psychotic to me. You know, they appear to lack a certain amount of human emotions. Mm-hmm. Now, most people that I know personally are not psychopaths or sociopaths. And, you know, I can get along with these people and I don't have a problem with them. I very rarely meet any of these types of personalities when I, you know, in my daily life or anything. But there seems to be a lot of them in high elite circles. There seems to be a lot of them as politicians, a lot of them as celebrities, a lot of them as businessmen. So, you know, power tends to corrupt it appearingly, you know, or it could be by choice or bloodlines, like you said. But
that's
for
presuming
me,
presuming they started out good.
Right, yes. For me, what I can't, the barrier I can't cross is, you know, murdering much less one person, but in you know, depopulating an entire planet. You know, that's an agenda here, is to depopulate the planet, and it's undeniable for me. It is an agenda. I'm not going to back down from that one. I can see it plain as day that they want to depopulate the planet. But who are they, and why the fuck do they want to depopulate the planet? How psycho do you have to be to not want to kill much less one person that you don't know, have any idea about, but millions and millions and millions of people? So
I've never defend their actions. Yeah,
so that
they're
would,
horrible. They're horrible human beings.
Right.
It makes me think there was a line from one of the Batman movies where Alfred the butler was saying to Bruce Wayne, he said, you know, he's telling him some story, but the moral of the story was, he was getting at, he goes, you have to understand that some people simply want to watch the world burn.
Yeah,
that's it. That's that. they're game for that. In that there's a YouTube clip called Raqqa, which talks about aliens in the future taking over and farming us. And there's a character in that clip also where they explain this as well, that some people, and this guy was one of the good guys,
yeah,
and he was also still one of these people that just wants to see things burn. There is that aspect. There are some people who simply get off on destruction. There are people that like to create that are artists. There are people that like to be firefighters. There are some people that want to watch the world burn. They want to destroy stuff. That's their MO.
You know, apparently there is, and it's hard for me to see that. It's hard for me to believe
that. It's
totally
hard. It's hard to be on that wavelength, yes, if you're not on that wavelength.
But what I'm wondering is there some kind of interaction or connection to an entity that is non-human that is perpetrating some of these thoughts into people? I was listening to Cliff High the other day, and he was making some genius points. The man's a genius. I got to have him back on the show. But he was saying that, you know, he believes that a lot of these elites and people are being fed instructions from some kind of etheric entity that he calls a bug, because he believes that, you know, deep down inside, you know, if you're a genuine normal human being, you don't have some of these tendencies. But if you're allowed to be influenced by some of these outside entities who are not fond of humans and maybe want have other agendas towards the human race, they can be easily manipulated by these entities and do their bidding, per se, because he said – Cliff said something that I think is perfectly right on spot, is that he said that they cannot harm us, these entities. They cannot do anything physically to us, but what they can do is influence us with information and tempt us and get us to harm ourselves, which makes a lot of sense. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I can't argue it. I think as a species, I think we really need to start to open our eyes to the idea that there's more possibility going on than we have considered. The stuff that Cliff says, I believe, is genius. It's being an astute, honest observer of what's going on around us. A lot of the things that I have been saying, I believe, support his positions on things as well. I actually want to talk to that guy because I believe a lot of the information I have supports things that he has postulated before.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think he's right there. But and then going back to my angle, not that I do support what he's saying, but I want people to understand that what he's saying is still singular, and I think it's more complex than that. So when he is brilliant enough to say, hey, there's a possibility that there's a thing that's an outside influence, yep, absolutely, I'm right there. There's more than one thing, though. I think there's, again, more factions. Mm-hmm. I think it's always more complex. Oh, there's one thing that can influence? No. There's 27 things that can influence us, and they're fighting over influencing us, just like we have cornfields and 27 different companies fighting over that commodity.
Right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, it's, of course, not only black and white. There's millions of shades of gray in between. Mm-hmm. And that goes with entities that want to have an interest or control in the human race. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think I'm beginning to think that, you know, it's not just a metaphysical or physical type of phenomenon. I think it's a mix of everything. I think it's a mix of anything between. I think it's an interdimensional phenomenon. I think that there may be physicality involved. I think that there may be off-planet entities involved, but I think that humans are the ones, the only ones that can save themselves from what's happening right now, and I think that no one is going to come to save the human race. I don't think we're going to have any ETs come and park on the White House lawn saying, I'm here to save you, and if they do, I probably wouldn't trust them. So totally. I think we're the only ones that can get us out of this mess and make a change. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think it's we the people for the people all the time, 100%. I mean, I do agree that, yes, we do have to learn to fight for ourselves and take care of ourselves. But ultimately, I think what the Founding Fathers presented, which was special about the creation of this great land, which was the United States of America, was that we learned how to fight for others. That was the great thing. That's almost a given from their perspective. In their world, of course you would fight for yourself. It's understood. Mm. It's a brave man that fights for the freedoms of others. The freedoms of others means that you will fight for things that they do that you don't agree with. That's being a patriot. Not fighting for the things that you want. That's a given. True patriot fights for the rights of people to do things differently than them.
Very well said. Yes, I agree 100%. And Eric, I want to thank you so much for coming on late notice today. That was absolutely awesome. Before you head out, tell us about you got anything interesting coming up on your show.
Tomorrow morning I will be interviewing Anthony Zender, who is a super soldier veteran. I look forward to chatting with him. Both he and I will be at this 5D event in Las Vegas, which will be November 4th to 7th. I'm really looking forward to being at that event. It'll be the first time I'm in these round tables and stuff like that. So I look forward to connecting the dots with folks. And then on November 5th, on the Discovery Channel, I'm sorry, on the Travel Channel and Discovery Plus, Alaska Triangle Season 2, Episode 9 will be airing, and I will be a host.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be that, I think, is going to really rock people's world. They kind of contacted me to go out to an area in Alaska known as Ketchikan and to look for USOs and secret bases underwater.
Oh, man, that's excellent.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they did with the episode, because let's just say it was a productive event.
Man, that's great. Yeah. Well, we'd be looking forward to that. And of course, we'd be looking to talk to you again sometime in the future.
Awesome. And if I could just throw in one last shameless plug for
everybody out there.
Please, everybody, go to deciphering.tv, which is my website. Go to the archives section. I produce facts for folks. I have an experience. There's value to that. But I'm not playing games. I can prove the things that I'm saying. There's stuff going on this planet that we, the people, need to know about.
Yes, sir. There is. 100%. Eric, thank you so much, man. Looking forward to seeing what you got coming out on your show and the Elastic Triangle special. And we'll definitely talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We will talk again tomorrow.